Welcome to another episode of CDH Conversations. I'm Zachary Kokosulis, and joining me here today is Taiba Salomon. Taiba is a partner in the corporate and commercial division of CDH. She heads the sector for technology and communications. And Taiba has quite a wealth of experience in the sector, having previously been a partner in CDH. After that, she had a stint at Vodacom, where after she joined CDH again to head up the sector. So quite a lot to talk about. And today we're going to focus on the role of women in tech law, as well as discuss the industry at large, how it's developing, how it's progressing, some tips that Taiba's picked up. So welcome to the conversation. Thank you for the time.
Hi, Zach. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, excited to chat.
Cool. Let's go.
So I think the best way to sort of go into this is just to ask, can you walk us through your journey into being a technology lawyer? How did the career find you, or how did you find it? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I was very fortunate to come into Cliff Dekel Hofmeyr that had, you know, an established technology and telecommunications practice area. And also, you know, when you're a candidate attorney, you get the opportunity to explore various parts of law in terms of dispute resolution or M&A or the like. And so I found that when I started to work in telecommunications and technology, it was quite a natural fit because I appreciated the complexity of how you address the risks and rewards of technology in terms of contractual frameworks, in terms of how the law was changing. And I think those very operational concepts that are more prominent in technology law was probably what made me a better technology lawyer and had an inclination to sort of pursue a career in technology and telecommunications and the like.
Okay, so it was a bit of both. It was a case of you finding it by virtue of rotating into the department, and then it finding you once you were there. You realized it suited your aptitude. So were there any specific challenges that you faced when you rotated in, or did you immediately realize you have the aptitude for this and this is where you want to be?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the legal profession is inherently a challenging profession. In terms of the nuances of being a technology lawyer and being a woman, the types of challenges that you face in your career change over the years. It also changes based on circumstance. So a particular matter, a particular client, a particular geopolitical climate, all of those elements kind of contribute to your experiences and the challenges that you face. Your seniority certainly also has implications for how you progress in your career. And I found in the early stages of my career, when you're perhaps a very young lawyer walking into a room with a lot of technology experts, at that point, and I think it's probably still the case in some instances, you're often walking into a room full of men who have established careers, and you're having to prove yourself and convince, you know, your peers, convince your clients that you have the capability to participate in this very complex and nuanced area of the law. So that was probably a feature early on. Later, I would say your challenges from a tech law perspective become, you know, having a seat at the table, being able to direct strategy, because that was part of what I was involved in from an exco perspective at Vodacom, is also something that you navigate differently in your career.
Okay, so I mean, those are challenges that you face as well, being a junior and then particularly being a woman in that space, because it would otherwise be a male-dominated space. Did you find that to be the case?
Yeah, but you know, we were just talking about it yesterday, and I get the sense that there are more women participating in the, say, for example, IT industry across the board. There's certainly definitely a better level of representation, but perhaps not at senior executive level. So sometimes what you're finding is that the decision makers are not necessarily women. And that's something that, you know, I'd hope to see change, certainly from a technology perspective. In terms of technology law, it's interesting because it's probably a women-dominated field. If you look across a lot of the major law firms, in most instances, practices are led by or have very senior partners who've been a part of the industry for a long time and who were sort of instrumental, are probably in sort of breaking the glass ceiling a few years before I even got to the point that I was a senior lawyer. So tech law, there's definitely a higher level of representation, I think, than we've ever had before. Probably want to see more representation in the technology industry.
Okay, that's interesting. I think in terms of the tech law space, that's definitely more welcoming news to the audience. And also noted about how it is in the general space in the technology industry. And that being said, I'm sure when you first joined, the technology industry certainly has developed since then. With your experience, it's changed a lot. A lot of tech probably didn't exist when you first joined that exists now. So dealing with completely different problems. But going through that and having witnessed that evolution, what are some careers you think are well suited to women? What are some good opportunities that sort of lie open for women to participate in, maybe in terms of getting a seat at that table? What have you observed?
Yeah, my own sentiments have always been that women are as well suited as men to participating in any industry, and certainly from a technology perspective, that's no different. But I do think that what we're seeing more of is women being the developers of technology that address some of the more nuanced challenges for women around gender-based violence, for example. So we at Cliff Decker-Wolfmeyer had partnered with an NGO, Quanele, who had developed an AI chatbot and application to support women in terms of gender-based violence a couple of months ago, and that was spearheaded by women. And I think that nuanced understanding that translates into technology that supports women's issues, women's rights, is critical. Certainly, there are women that are supporting and developing technology in terms of mental health that are also nuanced in favor of women. And so there's definitely a more expansive profile. But I also believe that in, you know, just typical tools that are required in a workplace environment, in corporate, in our day-to-day life, women perhaps bring a slightly different approach, which is a little bit more lateral, I think. And in that approach is perhaps the opportunity for technology to be developed that the premise is different. And there's a lot of creativity and development potential that remains unexplored in terms of how women contribute to the development of technology. And so I think there's a long way to go in terms of tapping that potential and allowing for women to be the creators and the developers of technology in a way that's going to transform the world we live in.
Yeah, that's a very interesting take, and I agree with that. You know, on that point of the evolving technology landscape, what are some practices that are employed today in, let's say, technology law that weren't employed when you first joined? And how would you say the evolution of the technology industry in general has impacted the tech law landscape?
I particularly remember when cloud, for example, was released and became a big thing in the technology industry. And organizations who wanted to buy cloud products and lawyers who were drafting the agreements for cloud products, whether it was software as a service or platform as a service or infrastructure as a service eventually, didn't necessarily have frameworks and that they were comfortable, existing legal frameworks that they wanted to work with or could work with. And so there was this development of adapted strategy in terms of how cloud contracts would apply. But what you see is that, and certainly my approach to technology and to advancements in technology is that your contracting must always be fit for purpose, and you must adapt your contract framework to the manner in which the technology operates, who the recipient of that technology is going to be, and what the real risks are associated with the utilization of that technology. So for example, if you are contracting in terms of an AI tool set at this point, you need to understand the implications of the source of that data and that's being used in that tool set. And you need to be able to understand whether there is going to be any kind of bias that's potentially going to be incorporated in that at some point. And you need to contract for the sampling and for the review and the monitoring and the analysis of that. So the best kind of technology lawyer is the kind of person who stays abreast of the changes in the technology and then makes sure that in delivering, either in terms of opinion or in terms of agreements, that you are actually providing value in terms of how the technology can be used responsibly with appropriate risk mitigation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, would you agree contracting in that sense is quite a challenge because you want to develop something that can allow for the future development to take place. But at the same time, you may not necessarily know what that is at the time that you're drafting the contract.
It's a bit of a crystal ball scenario. Yeah.
A bit of a crystal ball scenario. So you have to draft the contract to be dynamic so that it could potentially be used for a new technology that isn't developed yet.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And that is interesting, something that I've certainly had to, that's been a learning curve for me in this team as well. I know that you stress that quite a lot. So on the topic of emerging technology and developing technology, do you think that regulation and the development of the legal world around it is a challenge to emerging technologies such as AI? Or do you think that, you know, as the technology progresses, the legislature sort of comes with it? What's your take on that?
Yeah, so historically, we've just found that, you know, technology progresses at a speed far faster than the development of, you know, laws or regulation. And often, you know, there isn't really even an opportunity to regulate before the technology has, strictly speaking, changed again. And what you also find is that regulation is potentially anathema to actually allowing for the development in technology and for allowing for innovation. And so I don't believe that it's necessary to over-regulate innovation and research and development into technology. But we are sort of entering a phase in the development and evolution of technology, which does present a number of ethical dilemmas. And so what you've seen, for example, with Neuralink is that in some states in America, they're already starting to ban the embedding of technology into people's brains because of the implications that that has for the human race, if you like. And there are many arguments for and against that. So I certainly would not advocate for absolutely no regulation, but I do think that the regulation needs to be dealt with in terms of what's in the best interest of human beings, however difficult that may be to navigate. And at the same time, to encourage innovation for the improvement of people's socioeconomic circumstances and the like. I think that those are perhaps the pillars that I'm in favor of any kind of regulation being applied. But I fully embrace the fact that it is not necessarily an easy area of the law, an easy area of regulation to actually navigate.
So it's basically between striking a balance where we have to protect the technology from going out of hand. And obviously along that comes various ethical considerations, but at the same time, you don't want to halt the development of the technology altogether by over-regulating.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And I mean, that is probably fostered through an enhanced understanding of the technology and the benefits of technology. And often lawmakers don't necessarily have that level of understanding, which makes it very difficult to regulate. And it's why you often see that the regulations that are implemented are at odds with perhaps the benefits and the opportunities that the technology seeks to achieve.
Absolutely. And I think we do oftentimes see that disconnect with legislature, either by way of it being outdated or just sort of missing the mark with certain things. Obviously, it's very difficult to keep legislature updated at the rate that technology progresses. It's simply just not possible to do that. Obviously, technology is also very trend-based. You know, maybe it's developed for a specific reason, but people use it in another way. And those trends can also shape how the technology develops going forward. And I think that same applies with the industry. Obviously, companies move with the trends that maximizes their profits and, you know, also leads to more innovation in that sense. So obviously, as technology progresses and trends develop from the use of that, it's not only the technology itself, but it's the industry as well that advances with those trends. In terms of the careers available in the technology companies or in tech law at large, have you seen any new trends in how women are approaching and shaping the landscape?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can definitely see the sort of enhanced representation and participation of women in terms of the tech industry. And I've mentioned, you know, some of the very sort of nuanced technology developments that we've seen. I personally don't, you know, advocate for people to approach their sort of professional development in terms of what is better suited to their gender profile. You know, if it is a focal point and a passion, that's great. But I think broadly speaking, for women, and frankly speaking, men as well, you need to tap into your passion. You need to tap into your interests. You need to tap into what's important to you personally and professionally, and sort of build your career around those elements. And if it is technology, there has to be a preparedness to grapple with the complexities of the technology, how it's used, who are the recipients of that technology ultimately, and how you can disrupt that technology. Those are all critical elements in terms of embarking on a career, both in tech law and technology generally. There has to be a yearning for knowledge and a willingness to transition through the changes in technology.
And looking towards the future, are there any aspirations that you have? What are your hopes for the role of women in shaping that future of technology, the technology industry, and even technology lawyers?
Yeah, it's a big question with probably a broad answer. My hope is that there will be a little bit more parity in remuneration for women, because I think that that continues to be a challenge. And embracing, you know, how women sort of approach their remuneration and rewarding them for their participation in a workplace, I think is something that we need to work on. I think the second part of it in terms of the role of women needs to be an accommodation of their innate sense of self and the way that they want to participate, given that many of them are mothers and, you know, have families and want to be able to be both professionals and maintain their personal lives. So I'd like to see a more creative approach to the way that we accommodate professional development for women. Certainly in technology law, I think that there has been a greater level of accommodation because there are so many women who are at the forefront of their field. But that said, I think that there's always more to be done in terms of creating more adaptive frameworks within workplaces for women. I think the way that we participate in the workplace has changed and will continue to change. And I think that that change is likely to be for the good of law firms, likely to be good for the betterment of the technology industry, and likely to be for the betterment of the world. I have great hopes and certainly aspirations to participate in that process. And perhaps we'll have another podcast in a little bit of time to see how it's all panned out.
Well, that's a really nice outlook to have. And I definitely agree with that. I hope that is realized by the industry at large going forward. Do you think that the working from home trend that's been implemented in some workplaces has contributed positively to that in any way?
So I think that work from home and hybrid policies, their pros and cons, and a lot of that has been debated in terms of productivity and the like. And more often than not, it comes down to individuals that are productive in a formal framework within the office space and individuals who are productive at home. There was a sense that there was more of a leaning for women to be able to work from home because the flexibility that it gave them was to be able to accommodate some of their responsibilities and the ability to participate in their home life in a different way from men. I don't necessarily want to make too much of that, but I think that my own preference is for a hybrid working environment because I do think that face time with colleagues is important in terms of nurturing a culture within an organization. But I do think that for me personally, there's always been an enhanced productivity in my home environment where I can focus quite specifically on my deliverables and the tasks that I need to complete. And often in the office, it's a distraction. But it probably comes down to the individual. I would advocate for the flexibility, but I would also say that, you know, if you felt that the productivity was at risk, you'd have to reconsider that as a leader. And I fully respect the right for any leader to make a different decision.
Oh, certainly. And I think also some professions allow for it and others not so much. So it is also tricky with that. Just finishing off, do you have any tips, advice for young women entering into the industry? What would you encourage? And maybe you can see it as if you were talking to your younger self first starting their career as an attorney.
That's an interesting one. I wonder what I might have said to my younger self. I think most of the challenges for anybody, but even, you know, for any young woman coming into the industry is so much of how you perceive your environment and the willingness to learn needs to be at the forefront of your mind. If you focus on the obstacles and the challenges, certainly if you focus and you adopt other people's obstacles and challenges, you're going to be aggrieved right from the outset. And so your perception and your mindset needs to be one focused on learning and growth. Beyond that, so much of how you navigate the environment for anybody goes to how you manage your relationships, how you build your network, how you engage with people who are sponsors and mentors to you in terms of your career, and how you leverage that. In some cases, those are other women who can provide some very, very good support. And in other cases, it's not that. So my own views on that are built around nurturing your own sense of self, your own ambitions, your own personal development and growth on your own terms, but taking guidance from anybody who you can in the greater scheme of things.
Thank you very much for your time, Tayuba. This was definitely an insightful conversation. And until next time, hopefully when we return, some of those changes will be there.
Cool. Thanks very much, Zach. Thanks for having me.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.